You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core, the podcast where we explore beliefs, habits, and mindsets that shape how we lead. I'm Jonna.
And I'm Simone. Today, we're talking about a topic that is as familiar as it is misunderstood, and that's communication. For decades, we've been hearing people say we need leaders who are better communicators. Everyone says communication is key to leadership, but if that's true, why is it still one of the most common complaints on teams?
Maybe it's because we are actually confusing talking with connecting. Communication isn't just what you say. It is the space between intention and impact, and too many leaders stop at their intent.
So today we're talking about the multiple layers of communication and spotlighting why communication really is more than just being good with words. It's a bridge between intentions and the impact that we have on other people.
So let's talk about some hard truths about communication and dive into some research that's out there, give us some statistics of what is the perception of how well do we communicate. And there are a number of surveys that go out every year looking at communication because we know that communication is an important part of being successful in an organization. But research has shown that 86% of employees and executives cite the lack of communication as a major issue. But most people rate themselves as above average communicators. So we've got above average communicators, but everybody else has the problem, right?
And a lot of the stats that we have are just like that, the opposite. And so there's just this conundrum of, well, what is true? And, you know, when I come straight down to it is our perception of ourselves is pretty skewed.
Well, and the impact, right, that poor communication or the lack of effective communication. In one workplace survey, it showed that 63% of workers reported that poor communication among colleagues impact morale. So if you think about showing up to work, if you think about the team, you think about collaboration, the impact of poor communication has that ripple effect, as we've talked about.
A lot of the workplace surveys around employee engagement and morale, there's a lot of companies that will just go after trying to put in more programs that will help bring up morale. But this data point indicates that perhaps doing these programs, while good, may not be the root problem or the root thing to look at to really move the needle on morale among engagement. Maybe it's as simple as and as complex as addressing the communication challenges.
Yeah, it could very well be, because obviously one thing is not going to fix right, everything. And so being able to break something apart, such as morale, and try to understand it, and research is showing us that communication plays a huge part in that. And then when you start looking at the dollar signs, right, that connect to you.
Those were staggering. Some of the ones about the email, the one article that the research that she had done around what it costs annually, just some sort of missed communication, either between employees to employees or employees to customers. Of the 400 companies that were surveyed, the average cost in 1 year was $62 million. That's not just one time. That was the average. Crazy. So some were higher, some were less.
Yeah. And even when you look at smaller organizations, we're not talking about, you know, Fortune 500 companies. You know, we're talking about every shape and size of organizations have a breakdown in communication. And then what I found very interesting is that a 2024 study showed that Americans are actually becoming less effective at communication.
By these numbers, we can't afford it. We can't afford to become less. This gap just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And one of the numbers that I know that you shared with me, the one about, you know, 84% of employees depend on their manager for communication. So here we have this wide gap already, and employees are depending on their managers for communication, but the data is showing us that the communication is poor. It's not getting there. It's not hitting what they were wanting to hit.
And I know as you and I have talked about this, and we talk a lot about communication, and we have come to the assumption that people typically overestimate their personal skill, probably because we are so focused on what am I going to say next? Because we know I've already formulated my response in my head after the first three words of somebody that is trying to share a thought with me. And so we're so focused in on what we're going to say, the clever thing, the great question, and therefore we perceive ourselves as better communicators.
And communication is much more than just the words. And this, you know, may be part of why there is such this disconnect, because communication is not just one skill. You can call it a competency, you can call it really, you know, whatever you want, but there's many other skills that fall within the category of communication. So when someone's rated on these surveys, or they're filling out a survey of are you good at communication, are you strong at communication, they're going to say yes, I am, because there may be one element of it that they're good at. And I do think a lot of people, you know, hold on to, well, I speak well, or I write well. And so they label themselves, okay, I'm a good communicator, I'm good at communication. But as we were talking through where did we want to go with this particular podcast, we really stumbled on that there's a problem with calling out just that one skill. And, you know, what if we got better at articulating which one of those communication skills? Is it listening? Is it self-awareness? Is it clarity? Is it timing? Is it emotional intelligence, emotional regulation? Is it presentations? Is it writing presentations, storytelling? How many times in the past couple of years have I been asked by executives, can you find somebody to teach them how to tell better stories? They want stronger communication. They want better communication, but we're a little bit lazy in our language, and we're just labeling it all communication. It just oversimplifies the whole concept.
Which then makes it hard to improve. It makes it hard to grow when you're not really sure what to focus on or what direction. And I really think about communication as a complex process as opposed to a skill or a competency. Is if you think about everything that is involved inside of transmitting a message or having a conversation, that it really is this complex process.
Yeah, it's not just, hey, here's this one thought, and then let me go tell someone this thought. It really is, I'm the sender, and there's a message I want to send. When you're receiving it, it's going to land on you completely differently. So it's not just this simple, oh, I said it, I told them, I sent an email. It's, did they hear it? Did they receive it?
Yeah, I told them. I communicated it to them. Yeah. Well, to help kind of broaden the understanding of communication, let's shift our focus a little bit to the purpose of communication, which is a bridge, right, between a person's intention and the impact received by the other people.
Can you repeat that? Because I want listeners to hear the purpose of communication and listen to what John is saying.
Yeah. And we actually went back and forth over this and really honed in on that word, a bridge, right? The purpose of communication really is the bridge between a person's intention and the impact received by the other person.
And there's a lot of mischief that can happen on that bridge.
There is a lot.
There's a lot of mischief. You know, the intention lives in your head. If you have a message you want to give, the intention lives with you. You go out, you communicate it, but the impact really lives in someone else's experience. And how many times have we left a meeting or left a conversation saying, well, that didn't go the way I thought it would, which they could have gotten upset, or they said something different, they didn't agree immediately, whatever that was, because you had this intention. And so you formulated these words, and you went in and said your piece, and you weren't hit with what you were expected. And you later find out that, oh, they heard something different than you intended. So we all have said at some point in our lives that, well, that's not my intent. I did not intend to do that. And, you know, we often assume because we meant well, in doing that, that others receive it with that spirit, or because I said, oh, I didn't intend that, that it takes away some of the damage or the hurt feelings that may come away with that. So there's a big divide.
Yeah, just because you may had the intention and made the assumption that the other person was going to receive it the way that you had it planned out in your head, that it doesn't take away the impact of what happened during that experience when the people were interacting.
Yeah, that it's when you do that, it actually you're deflecting the responsibility for having created that experience for the other person.
Okay, you're going to have to say that again.
By being defensive and saying that wasn't my intention, you're deflecting the responsibility for how you made someone feel. And in communicating, were you going to say something? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say in creating that experience, right?
Yeah, in creating that experience. And so it really comes down to that, you know, we talk about it as a bridge. And so if as a communicator, we could focus on that bridge, that here's my intention, here's the impact I want to have, and so how do I articulate it, or what's the vehicle to go over this bridge? There's a lot of different ways. Should it be an email? Should it be a conversation? Should it be a meeting? Should it be a presentation? If it is a presentation, what's on the presentation? Should it be in a podcast? Like, there's a lot. You've got an intention, you have an impact, and then there's a method to go across that particular bridge. And as the person with the message to convey, it's your responsibility to take ownership and to really accept that you're responsible for someone's experience, like to really create what that experience is over there. And there's a lot of examples. Do you have any that come into play so we can make this real for people?
Yeah, I think about all types of examples where I have missed the mark, and whether that was professionally or personally. And I feel like it's a lot harder when you have to swallow and explain to your kid or apologize to your kid that that wasn't your intent, but obviously the impact had a totally different experience than what you had planned. But I think for us, when we think about leaders, a leader's intent could be going in and maybe motivating. So they push a deadline, and the impact that lands on the employee is the employee feels stressed and resents being pushed, and maybe even, feels like they're getting a little, frustrated, disengaged, maybe because either they can't reach those expectations or they feel isolated. So when you think about that bridge breakdown, the intent is invisible unless it is really matched with attuned delivery. And we talked a lot about being attuned with in our last episode, mm-hmm. but a manager thought they were being supportive, and the employee's perception or experience or the impact from the whole situation is that the employee felt that they would never reach their manager's expectations.
And that happens every day.
Yeah, it really does.
Because that manager really thought that they were being supportive.
Helping.
Yeah. Yeah, really helpful. I'm being helpful. And I really liked how you languaged it, that the bridge breakdown, to further our analogy of how it broke down. Because if you look at the purpose of communication. Communication is that bridge from intent to impact. And so I have an intent. I have an intention to deliver, and I have to cross that bridge. And so it broke down because the person reacted differently than you thought they would. And you got to get really interested in what's going on over there. So that's a great example.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have an example?
There's many, many. But one off the top of my head is that, when a leader goes to give feedback, and we give feedback because we want to help an employee improve, but an employee could feel like you're criticizing them. So my intention as a leader is to give feedback, and I give that feedback, and the impact is the employee feels criticized. They feel like they have to become cautious, or they begin to disengage, or they may feel embarrassed or demoralized by that feedback. So that bridge breakdown, as you called it, could have been either the timing or the tone that the leader used, maybe even the context. They didn't shape what what was going on in such a way that the employee felt like it was a personal attack. So when you think about what was going on in the manager's head or the employee's head, the manager, they thought they were helping that employee grow, but the employee really felt like they were being attacked. They didn't feel like the manager was being helpful at all.
Well, and then following up with, well, that's not what I meant. Yeah. And I love the phrase of, I'm sorry, that's how you took it.
That one's so damaging.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, just, you know, as a leader, all it really takes is to say, I am sorry that I made you feel that way, that what I said was hurtful to you. I am sorry. And just stop it. Don't say, well, wasn't my intention. If you feel like you need to talk about intentions, regardless of what my intentions were, I hurt you. And I apologize. That's really, you know, where it needs to start so that they can begin to ever process or listen to the original communication that you wanted to say.
Well, and if you don't acknowledge that and don't really take ownership of the impact, then it can feel like you've dismissed the other person's feelings, that you really don't care about what they actually experienced in their interaction with you, which then can start breaking down that relationship. Because as we have said in other episodes, every interaction with humans, we're either building that relationship or we're breaking it down. There's no in between.
None. So the message here really is that strong leaders take responsibility for their presence, not just the message that they're delivering. And so how they're crossing that bridge and whether or not the message got to the other side of the bridge in the same way that they needed it to get there. That's the leader's role. Leaders respond. Strong leaders do that. So we've talked a lot here, and the ultimate message is that, you know, intent does not erase impact. If you want to lead effectively, you've got to take ownership of that space between your words and their experience of your words. Why don't we spend some time talking about ownership of communication, specifically some of the outcomes of communication?
Absolutely. I think the responsibility for clarity rests in the sender of not the receiver. So whoever is, and in this case, we're talking about a leader. So it's the leader's responsibility to provide that clarity. And it really does require leaders to take a moment to pause even before and even after and really just ask, right? Am I more focused on defending my intention or truly understanding the impact that someone else is experiencing during an exchange?
It's really acknowledging that. Like, just step one, acknowledge it. Did I hurt another person? Did I impacted them negatively? And I think that's a real sign of ownership. Like, you're really showing that you own this and that you've got a message and you're going to own whether or not the message got there, and you're going to own the message that did get there, not the one that you thought got there. You're owning it. I did this. And you could just very simply just step back and get through the apology parts of it first to restore that. But then say, could I try this again? And really get in their world and how they're going to hear it.
Well, and most people don't expect perfection. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. There is nobody that's perfect.
Yeah.
But people do expect us to take ownership of how we made somebody else feel, what impact we created as we are interacting with people. So just that piece of acknowledging and taking ownership and understanding how something was received allows us to adjust and grow and get better the next time.
Not enough people will even just ask, what did you hear me say? And then if I do that as a leader, ask someone, what did you take away from this conversation? And they then repeat back to you in their words what they're taking away. You can assess whether or not you hit your intention. And if you didn't, you can then say, hey, can I put something else in? Because that's not exactly where I want it to go or what we need to do. Whatever your language is, you can adjust. So it gives you that opportunity to really help hone in on you know, to bullseye the communication you're trying to get to, that intent you're trying to get to. And if it did hit the impact, you also can ask them, what was it that I said or did that you really got this? Or some other version of that, whatever works for you. But just really ask them so that you can shape your communication the next time as well to hit the target again.
Well, and I think in order to get better at communication, we have to understand how somebody received what it was that we said. Mm-hmm. And by acknowledging our impact, if it didn't match our intent, shows humility, it taps into our emotional intelligence skill set, and it actually builds trust, which mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time talking about, trust.
Yeah, it's a foundational element of it.
It really is. And it creates that space for a conversation. That's what communication is about, is creating that conversation.
The stronger you get at the communication, engagement is increased, and also you have more of a growth mindset. You can hit innovation targets. There's so much more that opens up when you get your intent and impact a lot closer together, or you know that you've hit that. Otherwise, you're dealing with a lot of noise, and people are out chasing after an intention that really isn't something that you want them to do.
Well, and I think in remembering, right, that communication is that bridge between intent and impact. And even going into a conversation, I know that I have coached individuals and even provided some in training of simply asking the question, what experience do I want people to encounter when they talk with me? Mm-hmm. And you're able to be very specific about the words that you choose, about how you approach things, because you've put some thought into what exactly do I want them to experience? What exactly is that impact? Because then we're more aware of it. We are paying attention to it and not just, hey, I've got this thing that I want to tell you and I'm communicating it to you. Check the box mm-hmm. and done.
Okay. That's really powerful. And before we wrap up, let's bring it back to our core framework. Because, you know, you and I can't talk about leadership without going there. And it's our own little version of a workout. You may not always want to work out, but it makes you stronger.
Yeah. And I think this week, instead of walking through all four, I think it's pretty obvious how curiosity plays into it and all those different pieces of the core acronym. I think let's just share with our listeners the one that showed up in today's conversation for us, or one that really resonates with us when we think about communication and intention and impact. Simone, which one would you say resonates with you?
For me, R, reflection, resonates the most with me. Just really looking at when, you know, my impact did not align with my intention, and looking over what are the patterns that I see in myself and how I communicate. Because if it's the same miss on the bridge that's occurring, then it is me. The reflection of the core framework is what was resonating a lot for me today. How about you?
Well, for me, the embrace, I feel like that is where we see actual growth take place, when we've accepted ownership. Because it's not easy to say and recognize that, hey, my intention was different than my impact. And a lot of times it can be very uncomfortable. And as I mentioned, when we have to do it with our kids, it's even more humbling.
Yes.
And being able to own that really shows us that we are growing in our journey of becoming not just a better leader, but a better human being.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I like that one. Can I change mine to be embrace and just repeat what you said?
Well, we could do all of them.
Excellent. Well, so this leads us to our reflection moment, our reflection prompt for this week. This week, don't just assume you were clear. Really check. Pick one important conversation. After that, ask the other person, what stuck with you from what we talked about? If their takeaway doesn't match your intention, that's not a failure. That's actually feedback. If it does match what your intention is, ask them, hey, what helped that land clearly? And that's how you start building mastery, not just in what you say, but in what is truly received. So our next episode is the leadership skill you can't fake. And that's all we're going to leave you with. You get to tune in to find out what that leadership skill is. Until then, don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com. We have our new discussion guides out there for many of our episodes, this one included, and you can use them with a group, a team, or even individually, much like you would a discussion group for a book club. And any other content that we've referenced in here today and our other episodes is out on that website as well.
And as always, we have to give our very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. Thank you very much, Cliff. And you can always reference his information on our website and the services he provides for development.
So much of leadership is about learning to bridge the gap between what we meant and how it's received. Because your words don't speak as loudly as the space you create for others to feel heard.
So until next time, lead with presence, lead with curiosity, and let your words be matched by your impact. And remember that leadership communication isn't graded on effort, it's graded on results.